In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So let's see who is smart here today. We'll see who is smart. Today's readings that was just read to us, what did you notice about today's readings? Very good. Someone is smart and in the front. That's the best when the smart people sit in the front. Makes my life much easier, okay? What you should have noticed about today's readings is they sound very familiar, because the last time we gathered together here in church was the exact same readings. All right, today's readings that we read was the exact same readings that we read on Friday night when we gathered together for the Feast of the Nativity. And you know the reason why? Because today's the Feast of the Nativity. See, what happens is something a little strange this year in the calendar is because of the whole leap year situation. We celebrate the Feast of the Nativity on January 7th, but really we don't celebrate on January 7th. We celebrate on the 29th day of the Coptic month of Kiach. So 29 of Kiach is the Feast of the Nativity, which usually falls on January 7th. But when there's a leap year situation, which like we have this year, the Coptic calendar adds the leap day when? It adds it at the end of last year. So if you remember, September 11th, which is usually our Nowruz, our New Year, wasn't New Year this year. September 12th was, meaning like, you know, in 2011. September 12th was. Why? Because the Coptic calendar added that extra day, the 366th day, at the end of last year, which was September 11th. So September 12th was the first day. So everything's kind of one day off until we get to February 29th, when we add the other day, and then everything kind of matches up. So that's why this year, technically, the 29th day of Kiach is actually today. But the good thing for us is we've been eating meat for 2 days, and then we just started the Feast of Nativity today. So this is like a great, great, great thing, and we should really be rejoicing and thanking God. That's why also this year, like Feast of Epiphany, usually the 19th, it'll be the 20th. Okay, and everything will be a day off until the February 29th. That's just a little piece of trivia for you. Now let's talk about one of the things about the Feast of Nativity, that since we've read the readings now twice, obviously you don't need me to explain the readings because you've read them now twice, you've meditated on them twice, you've prayed through them twice, so I'm actually not going to talk about the readings today that was read to us from the Bible, but I'm going to talk to us about a different reading that was read to us on Friday that we didn't read right now, which is, I know, is kind of a trick question. And you remember the letter that the Pope wrote this past Friday? Okay. Every year he writes like a festal letter to us, and we read it in the church here. This year's letter was my favorite letter ever. Of course, they're all great. They're all great. I'm not saying anything. They're all best. But this year's letter was the best, the best, the best. And you remember what he spoke about? What was the topic of this year's letter? Where'd all the smart people go? Yes, Uncle Otto, father-in-law. Very good. That's my father-in-law, okay? There you go. He spoke about doing good. And he picked on the verse from Acts chapter 10. I brought it for you here. Excerpt from His Holiness's letter, where he talked about Jesus doing good. So this, I brought you some excerpts here from His Holiness's letter. It says, amongst the words that I remember on the occasion of the Feast of Nativity is what is said about him during his incarnation, that he went about doing good. It is a lesson to us in our lives to be like him, going about doing good. Saying that when Jesus came and a lot of stuff happened. He brought salvation, all this kind of stuff. But one of the things that the Bible says about him, St. Peter speaking in this speech in Acts 10, said that Jesus whom you killed, speaking to the Jews, but Jesus whom you killed was someone who all he did was went about doing good. And he did so many good deeds for so many people. And then His Holiness says in the letter that we should follow that model about doing good. And then he goes on. He says, goodness, he goes now to define what does it mean to do good. Goodness is not only leaving sin, for this is only the negative aspect. The most important aspect, however, and I highlight that most important aspect, is the positive side. That is doing good with everyone in order that everyone who meets us on the path of life will gain goodness by any means. Saying the goal isn't just to not, good doesn't mean not doing bad. Good means doing good. All right, and I'll talk about that in a little minute. And then he goes on to define, like, what does that mean, doing good? And he talks about doing acts of service. He talks about, you know, giving. He talks about comforting people. He talks about, like, mission and the importance of mission. But we won't talk about mission now. We'll save that till later on. We'll talk about mission later on. But he speaks about all these different things that are, like, good things that we can do in the new year. And this is what he says in the following. He concludes with this. My beloved children, place this principle in front of you in this new year, that every day that you do not do good, watch this, is a strong word. Do not count this day as a day of your lives. That's a strong word. Every day that you do not do good, do not count this day as a day of your lives. God created you in his image, and God is the beneficent one. So you also be likewise in the image of your heavenly Father, beneficent as he is. Beneficent means good. That's when we say good one. Let this not only be when people ask from you to do good to them, but rather do not wait for them to ask. This is a hard, I don't want to say a hard word, but it's a kind of a hard word, saying that every single day that you get to the end of the day and you can't think of anything good that you did, don't count that as a day. Is that possible? Isn't that that's really high, isn't it? Like, usually we don't think that way. Usually we think in terms of like, okay, if I went the day and I didn't gossip, that's a good day. Or I went the day and I didn't think bad thoughts, that's a good day. Or I went today and I didn't, cheat or lie or steal or whatever, that's a good day. But what he's saying right here is, not necessarily. Because if you didn't do anything positive, then maybe it wasn't necessarily a good day. So that got me to thinking. What is the definition of when my day was a good day or not a good day? Like, we know before we put our heads to sleep at night, we look back on our day, we review our day, we see, was it a good day or not a good day? Was I pleasing to God this day or not? What's the definition of whether I was hitting the target today or not? Because usually we look at it like, again, the goal is to not do stuff, not sin, not commit adultery, not steal, not murder, not anger, not whatever it is. But is that necessarily the model of success in God's eyes? It's very important you define this. You know why? Because if you don't define this, you know what you'll do? Once upon a time, there was a guy. You know, archery, the guy with the bullseye, like he shoots the arrow. So there was a guy who was like practicing to be a great archer guy. And one day he was, at the range or whatever, and they have all these targets. So he saw, like, on this tree, bullseye. Someone hit an arrow right into it. And then he went down to the next one, another tree, bullseye. Someone got it right into it. And he saw at the next tree, he saw, again, the bullseye and the arrow right in the middle. So he's wondering, who is this that hits it right in the middle exactly every single time? So he sees this one guy who is the guy who's doing it, like it's in front of him. So he says, you got a bullseye every time? He says, yeah. He says, how did you hit it in the center of the target every time? He says, easy. I shoot the arrow at the tree. Wherever it hits, I draw the target right around it. I'm telling you, we do that. We do that in our spiritual life. We do that. We live how we want to live. We pray. We get to the end of the day. See, I'm good because I prayed. Look, I fasted this day. So I'm good because I fasted. Or I did this. I didn't do this sin, so therefore I'm good. I was pleasing to God this day. We do what we want, and then we tell God, God, this is what should make you happy. And we hit it, and then we draw the target around it. But maybe we need to ask God, God, what's the target? What's the target that I should be aiming for? And I try to hit his target, not my own. Question is, what does God expect of us? Does God just expect me to believe in him and avoid doing all the bad things, or does God expect more from me? We had I'll get you this verse. James 4:17. Who knows James 4:17? I didn't put it up there on the screen because I want you to memorize James 4:17. It's not hard, all right? It's easy. Look at that. First my father-in-law, now my mother-in-law. This is a good day for my family today. This is a good day for my family today. See, really, I sneak and I give them the answers, okay, in advance, okay? We discuss the answers, okay? No, but there's a reason. I know why they know, but that's a different reason. Okay, James 4:17. I'm going to let you see it once, and then I'm going to take it away, and you're going to remember it, okay? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Back. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Can you say it with me? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. sin. One more time. I'm just going to start you. You can do it by yourself. Therefore. All right. Very good. It's really a festal day. It's a happy, happy, happy day for us, okay? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. What that verse says is that not doing bad things doesn't mean that I didn't sin. Let's say over here in our ladies section over here, all right? Usually the ladies, okay, say that it's cold in the church. I don't know how, because it's hot, and we all know it's hot. But the ladies somehow say it's cold. So let's say I walk in here, okay, and there's a young girl, and she's sitting like this, okay? There's a cute little young girl right there, nice little, okay, little girl. She's sitting there, and she's shivering, and she's cold. And I say, young lady, I care about you, and I love you, like Christ loves you. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray that God changes your body temperature. And I'm going to pray that God warms your skin. And that God sends you hot chocolate. And in fact, I have such great faith. God, please send this girl coat upon coat upon coat. And then I go back to my office, and I got 15 coats sitting in my office, one decorating my wall, and one on my teddy bear, and one just lying on the floor. And I'm praying. I say, God, we're going to pray that God sends this girl a coat. And we have great faith. God, send this girl a coat. Send her a coat. What's the answer? Is God going to send her a coat? Well, he already did. You know where it is? It's in my office. God sent her the coat. God sent the coat, and he put 15 of them in my office, and he put me right in front of the girl. And if I don't give her that coat, that's sin. That's sin. You can say what you want. That's sin. Because to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not that we can say that we pray for the girl or we have, it's not. It's sin. And I got news for you. Every day we walk around, we do sin. Every day we walk around and we do sin. Because there's people in front of us that are hungry. People in front of us that are sad. People in front of us that are lonely. We walk right by them and we pray for them. Pray for them. Success is never defined by what you don't do. Success is defined by what you do do. We had a whole retreat about this, for those who remember. Okay, this was the last passion retreat we had. Talked about success is not what you don't do, success is what you do do. And one of the quotes that I brought during that retreat was from a great saint called Saint Teresa of Avila from Spain. She said the following, Christ has no body on earth, no body but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. Can you imagine that cute little girl, like I said, Jesus sees her cold, has 14 coats in his car, and walks right by her and doesn't do anything. Can you imagine that Jesus would walk right by her and not help her? Can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing that? It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Because me and you walk out and we walk right by her. Can you imagine Jesus seeing someone in your office sad and not going to talk to them? It happens every day that you do it. Can you imagine Jesus seeing someone in your house who's lonely and who just needs you to go sit next to them on the couch and talk to them? And Jesus leaving that person lonely and sad? It happens every single day in houses all across this country. Because we're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. I'm the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ. I'm the hands of Christ. So if you want the hands of Christ to comfort this person, get your hands out your pocket and go comfort the person. Do you want the mouth of Christ to go tell this person about love? Open your mouth and go tell this person about love, because your mouth is the mouth of Christ and your hands are the hands of Christ and your feet are the feet of Christ. And if your hands ain't working and your feet ain't working and your mouth ain't working, people are going to say that Christ's mouth and Christ's body isn't working. 2,000 years ago, as His Holiness said here in the letter, Jesus came down to earth. God took flesh. Why? Not just to live a sinless life, to say some prayers, die on a cross. He went about doing good. And he healed people, their physical needs. All right? You remember that verse, which I brought it, from Luke chapter 4, where Jesus appears in the temple for the first time, and a reading from the book of Isaiah, and he stands up, he opens the scroll, and what does he say? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and God has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. To heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive, okay, and oppressed, to give a recovery of sight to the blind. He said, I didn't just come here to read the Bible and to play with my disciples. I came out to be in the streets, and I came out to see a broken person and go heal them brokenhearted. And a blind person and go heal their blind if I can. And go see a person who's lost and go preach to them the gospel of love. What about us? What about us, the body of Christ? We seem much more content to sit in the pews and tell God how much we love him and do nothing about it. That's not right. Therefore, to him who knows how to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. It's not saying that we should, it's saying that we must. See the difference? Not we should, we must. Else it is sin. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 18. St. James says it this way. It says, thus also faith by itself, which all of us have faith. But faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, I will show you my faith by my works. Look here. Christianity, as it started 2,000 years ago when our Lord Jesus Christ took flesh, came down this earth, disciples, turned the world upside down. Christianity is a fire. Christianity is a fire. And it was meant to start in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and spread like fire throughout the world. I'm afraid that we're very content to keep it to myself and to just kind of sit and keep it to myself. Now, here's the thing that's going to happen. What happens if you take a fire and you just try to keep it right here and you don't allow it to spread? What's going to happen to it? It's going to die. And I promise you, one of the reasons why our spiritual lives are stagnant, if you are stagnant, you know what stagnant means? You're dry, you're routine. If you're stagnant in your spiritual life, it's because of this. It's because of this. You're trying to be good, you're not trying to go out there and do good. Because we, as Christians, we need a mission. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. The kingdom of heaven is supposed to come into this world, like we're supposed to be soldiers, fighting for the kingdom of God. Man, soldiers don't sit around. Soldiers are out there, they're fighting, and they're battling, and they're trying to not just defend our city. Like, what kind of army just sits in front of their palace and says, don't attack us? That's not army. You're not going to win a war that way. You know how you win a war? You go out and you fight. And you go out and you try to beat the bad guy. And our job is to beat the kingdom of darkness. How do you beat the kingdom of darkness? By you inject light. Scientists know this. Darkness equals absence of light, right? So how do you remove darkness? You can't fight darkness. What you can do? Turn on a candle. Go light a light. We're supposed to be that light. We're supposed to be light that come here and receive light. We're supposed to come like empty cans. Sunday morning is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. Sunday morning is the beginning, not the end. Sunday morning is supposed to come like empty candles. We come and we receive the light. And then we go out there and we light the whole world on fire. Light the world on fire. Not literally. Light the world on fire. I hope we can leave here and start lighting fires after we get together at church. Why should I? Because God sees all. And God takes notice of all. God sees everything. Every opportunity. Not only God sees it, but I'm trying to tell you, God puts you there. Like I said, the example of me and the girl with the knee of the coat, God put me with 15 coats and put the girl right in front of me, and he's just standing right here and he's watching. Just like the Good Samaritan story. Remember the Good Samaritan story? God, even though it's a parable, God is up there and he says, okay, here's this boy, this Samaritan. Here's a priest and a Levite and a Good Samaritan and a Samaritan. Each one, because I'm the Punto Creator, I'm going to arrange it so that they walk on this road in front of that guy, and I'm watching. And the priest has no idea, but I'm watching. It's like candid camera. I'm watching. And that Levi didn't know, I'm watching. And the Samaritan, I'm watching. And God, I'm telling you, he's up there when we're in our offices. And we're not noticing, God is noticing. And God is taking note. Now, is that good news or bad news? It's both, okay? The bad news is that God notices all. And if you go to Matthew chapter 24, you read about a group of people who walked into the kingdom, or ready to walk into the kingdom, and they're ready to walk in and say, which seat should be mine? I'm sure I'm going to have a big seat. And Jesus said, excuse me? You don't belong here. He said, no. We were good people. We went to church. We didn't do bad stuff. We didn't do adultery. We didn't do murder. We didn't do any of those bad stuff. Jesus says, really? Because I saw I was a hungry guy, and you didn't feed him.
And there was a thirsty guy and you didn't give him drink. And there was a lonely guy and you didn't say nothing to him. He said, okay, so what? What's that have to do with anything? He said, whatever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I'm sorry, what you did not do to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me. Go away. It's scary, I know. It's scary. But it's also not scary. The bad news is God takes notice of all. But you want me to tell you the good news? Am I ready for the good news? Good news is God takes notice of all. That's the best news in the world. You know why? Because what that says is the same way God sees all for the priest and the Levite, God sees all for the Good Samaritan as well. And I get you a great verse right here from Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, which says, and whoever of you, or whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. I love this verse. And you need to hold on. This is a great verse that sometimes you need to hold on a verse like this. Because this verse says that the smallest, the dumbest thing that you did, the smallest, like a cup of cold water, is the only thing in the whole wide world that's free. Like anywhere you go, water. That's the only thing that's free. That's the only thing, like if you got nothing, you got no resource, you got nothing, you cup of water. You can go ask for a cup of water. Okay, that's the minimum thing. I come to your house, you have to offer a cup of water. Even you hate my guts, a cup of water. Jesus says, a cup of water to a little kid, to a nobody, will never lose his reward. Don't look at it from the negative. The whole point of the sermon is to not look at the negative. Okay, either whether I'm doing the negative or not doing that, the goal is not the negative. The goal is the positive side. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Realize that not only that God sees the opportunities that we missed, but God sees when I'm tired, when my back is broken, when my head is throbbing, and God sees that one little person, man, I don't want to talk to that person. But God sees, hey, you okay? Here's our goal. It's not our goal. The Pope said the goal. Our goal is every single day, do one act of kindness, one good act, but one good act that nobody asked you for and that nobody sees except you and God. Do one good thing every day. Not asked for. Do one good thing every day. Don't put your head to sleep. Look back on your day and say, do one good thing. Is that hard? Is it hard to find one opportunity in my office, in my house, with my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister, my wife or my kids, with my neighbor? Is it hard to find one? Is it hard to find, you can even, on when you're driving on the beltway, on 66, you can find opportunities to do good to people. Can't you? God sees all those opportunities. The Bible says that by no means he loses his reward. Y'all remember our verse? James 4:17. Say it with me. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Glory be to God forever. Amen.